Hello and welcome once again to your weekly Bible study. I'm Jay, and I would like to remind you before I forget, before we come to the end of this episode, that you can write to me via email at weeklyword2020@gmail.com, and you can write to me with any subject you want. You can write to me and ask me to cover a certain section of the Bible, certain verses. If you want to dive a little deeper into something, let me know. If you want to just send me a prayer request, and I'll pray over it, and we'll see what God can do in your life and my life and the lives of the people around us. So that's weeklyword2020@gmail.com. I want to thank everyone who's listened to me so far since I launched this podcast. It's been very satisfying to know that there are people like you who are interested in God's word. And I just hope that, you know, however many listeners there are, that you can be touched by this word from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And wow, what else can I say? I mean, that's really about it. Okay, so in the next few series, like we did on our last episode, we're covering some very well-known phrases and sayings and proverbs and kind of everyday phrases in the English language that really we use them all the time, but do we really know where they come from? Well, one of those today that we're going to cover is a very famous quote. On June 16th of 1858, there were more than 1,000 delegates that met in Springfield, Illinois, for the Republican Convention. At 5 o'clock that day, they chose Abraham Lincoln as their candidate for the U.S. Senate, and he ran against Stephen Douglas. Of course, this ended up being the famous Lincoln-Douglas debates eventually during this race. At 8 p.m. that day of the nomination, Lincoln delivered an address to his Republican colleagues in the Hall of Representatives. The title of the speech, their introduction to the speech, was a concept that was familiar to Lincoln's audience because they were familiar with where it came from in the Bible. And perhaps you knew this came from the Bible. If you study it, you know. But if you don't, you may have heard this. Lincoln's famous speech was, "A house divided against itself cannot stand." Even Lincoln's friends regarded the speech as too radical for that particular occasion. His law partner, William Herndon, considered Lincoln to be morally courageous but politically incorrect. Lincoln read the speech to him before he delivered it, referring to the house divided language like this. He described it as, "The proposition is indisputably true, and I will deliver it as written. I want to use some universally known figure expressed in simple language as universally known, that it may strike home to the minds of men in order to rouse them to the peril of the times." Now, as we study this phrase, "a house divided itself against itself cannot stand," I want you to be thinking about, you know, what's going on today? What's going on in today's world? And, you know, this particular phrase that was used by Lincoln can be applicable to today's world, I think. This speech that he made before the Hall of Representatives created many repercussions. It gave Lincoln's opponent, Stephen Douglas, some really fresh ammunition. In fact, Herndon remarked that when he saw Senator Douglas making such headway against Mr. Lincoln's House Divided speech, I was nettled and irritable, and said to Mr. Lincoln one day this, that, Mr. Lincoln, why in the world do you not say to Mr. Douglas, when he is making capital out of your speech, why don't you say, Douglas, why whine and complain to me because of that speech? I am not the author of it. God is. Go whine and complain to him for its revelation and utterance. Well, Lincoln didn't pose that to Senator Douglas. Reflecting on that statement several years later, William Herndon, Lincoln's law partner, said the speech did awaken the people. And despite Lincoln's defeat in that election, he thought the speech made him president. Another colleague, Leonard Swett, said the speech defeated Lincoln in the Senate campaign. But in 1866, he wrote to Herndon complaining, nothing could have been more unfortunate or inappropriate. It was saying first the wrong thing, yet he saw it was an abstract truth, but standing by the speech would ultimately find him in the right place. Let's put the speech into context. I'm not going to read the whole speech to you. But there was a fight between, a political fight between states who allowed slavery and those that did not, and abolitionists and those who supported the slave trade. I'm going to quote just a couple of lines from Lincoln's speech, and then we'll go to where this actually comes from. If we could first know where we are and whither we are tending, we could then better judge what to do and how to do it. This is quoting the speech now from Abraham Lincoln. We're now far into the fifth year since a policy was initiated with the avowed object and confident promise of putting an end to slavery agitation. Under the operation of that policy, that agitation has not only not ceased, but has constantly augmented. Lincoln goes on, in my opinion, it will not cease until a crisis shall have been reached and passed. A house divided against itself cannot stand. I believe this government cannot endure permanently half slave and half free. I do not expect the Union to be dissolved. I do not expect the House to fall. But I do expect it will cease to be divided. It will become all one thing or all the other. Unquote of Abraham Lincoln's part of Abraham Lincoln's A House Divided Itself Against Itself Cannot Stand speech on June 16th of 1858. Now, a house divided against itself cannot stand is biblical. It comes from the Bible, like many of our everyday phrases and sayings. But what does it mean? Well, I'm going to take a moment right now and read from one part of the Bible, one section of the Bible in Matthew, where it refers to this. And this is Jesus speaking. This is Matthew chapter 12. We're going to start at verse 22. And we're going to go through verse 37. So this is Matthew 12, verse 22 through 37. I'm going to be reading from the New International Version. So here we go. Then they brought him a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute, and Jesus healed him so that he could both talk and see. All the people were astonished and said, "Could this be the son of David?" But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, "It is only by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that this fellow drives out demons." Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand? And if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your people drive them out? So then they will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or again, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man? Then he can rob his house. He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters. And so I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven, men. But the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. Make a tree, and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out to the good stored up in him. Out of the good stored up in him. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you, that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." That is Matthew 12, verses 22 through 37. Boy, is there a lot in there. Not only does a house divided against itself cannot stand phrase come out of there, but you also have the unforgivable sin there by Jesus' words. You have, there are so many things, but let's delve into it just a little bit more. In verse 24, the Pharisees had already accused Jesus of being kind of in league with the demons. Pharisees, as you know, didn't care for Jesus. They didn't care for what he was doing or any of that. Are there any Pharisees around today? Oh, yeah, there's a lot of Pharisees around today. If you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, there are Pharisees everywhere. There are atheists everywhere. There are Christians who, I hate to say this, but there are fake Christians. They're the kind of Christians who claim to be Christian, but they never go to church. They never read the Bible. They scoff at, you know, like the divinity of Jesus. They scoff against, the creation story. You know, they believe evolution and creationism are compatible when, if you really study into it, it's really not. It's not compatible at all. So there are a lot of Pharisees out there of all different stripes, and you have to be able to, if, to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you have to be able to discern these things, these finer points. Refusing to believe that Jesus came from God, the Pharisees said that he was in league with Satan. And Jesus easily exposed this foolishness of this argument that the Pharisees were putting forward. In the incarnation, Jesus gave up the complete and unlimited use of his supernatural abilities, but he still had a very profound insight into human nature. You know, and we covered human nature a little bit on our last episode when we studied Ecclesiastes, and where it talked about nothing new under the sun. And really what that meant was there's nothing new in human behavior under the sun. There might be new technologies, and there might be new, you know, new ways to, you know, instead of, well, you know, I mean, instead of dial phones, there are push-button phones. Instead of push-button phones, there are cell phones. Instead of, you know, all different things. But that's not what the Bible was saying. That's not what nothing new under the sun means. Jesus' discernment stopped the religious leaders' attempts to trick him. The resurrected Christ knows all of our thoughts. You know, and this can be comforting because he knows what we really mean when we speak to him. He knows our thoughts, whatever we're praying for. He knows what we need before we ask. But does that mean we don't need to talk to him? We don't need to establish this relationship with Jesus? No, of course not. You know, but the fact that he knows what we need before we ask him can be comforting because he knows what we really mean when we speak to him. So we can be thinking about some kind of problem in our head, something we're wrestling with, and we're trying to put it into words when we're praying to God. But, you know, because he knows our thoughts, it really doesn't matter all that much the flowery language we use when we're praying, but we can, because he knows what we need before we ask. Wouldn't you say he probably just wants us to realize what we need before we ask him? I think so. You know, the fact that God knows what we need, what our thoughts are, what we need before we ask, everything that goes on in our mind, can be a little scary because of the thoughts that people can have sometimes, the thoughts that I can have, the thoughts that you can have. Don't deny that you have had thoughts that if you made them public to the people you know, the people you love, you wouldn't be maybe a little embarrassed or ashamed. And that can be a little threatening if you realize that God knows what you're thinking. Let's continue to look at this reading. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 29, at Jesus' birth, Satan's power and control were disrupted when Jesus was born. In the desert, when Satan tempted Jesus, Jesus overcame Satan's temptations. And when Jesus was resurrected, he defeated the ultimate weapon of Satan, which is death. Eventually, Satan will be constrained forever. And you can just read Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, as a reference for that. And evil will no longer prevail on the earth. Jesus has complete power and authority over Satan and all of his forces. You know, it's really kind of impossible, I think, to be neutral about Jesus. Anyone who doesn't actively follow him or choose to follow him and or has rejected him is in the struggle, is actively within, kind of in the middle of the struggle between good and evil. If you choose to be neutral or not follow Jesus, then you've rejected God. And that's the unforgivable sin. There's only one unforgivable sin. And that's rejecting God. And who wants to be separated from God? I wouldn't. To refuse to follow Jesus Christ is to choose to be on Satan's team. So let's make a choice right now. Let's have you make a choice right now to be on the team of Jesus Christ, the Father and the Holy Spirit. Choose to be on the right team. You know what? And all you have to do is ask Jesus to come into your life, repent of your sins, and you'll be born again. You will have chosen the right team. If you would, say this little prayer with me right now, or just listen to me. And you can say the prayer on your own when you're ready. But if you have any doubt, you study the word. You study the word that we went over today. You grab yourself a Bible. You put an app on your phone. You immerse yourself in the word daily. You don't have to read a chapter a day. You don't have to read, just make an effort to get the word into your life. Join a Bible study group. Listen to this podcast. Just get the word in your life. That'll make your team choice, the team of Jesus, all that much more joyous and wise. So say this prayer. Father, I confess today that I'm a sinner. I want Jesus Christ to come into my life as my Lord and Savior. I repent of my sins because I want a joyous, joyful forever in your presence. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. But that's going to do it for your weekly word, your weekly Bible study today. Again, please, if you have any comments, questions, prayer requests, any of that sort of thing, drop me a line at weeklyword2020@gmail.com, and I will answer every single one, and I'll say prayers for you. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week.